Today, if you hear God's voice, harden not your hearts before Him. Today, if you hear God's voice, harden not your hearts before Him. Our lesson this morning is taken from Psalm 145, a song of praise of David. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. God is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall command your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deed, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears the cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Kate. Very warm welcome to you. My name is John, if we've not met. I'm the senior minister here. Once a month, over the next few months, we are holding a sermon series across all three services. We want the Lord to grow a united sense of vision amongst us, who we are, why we're here, what are we going to do with this great God that we worship. And this morning, let's pray that the Lord would do that in us. Father, as we open up your word now, please would your spirit be at work in each of our hearts. Would you be preparing our hearts? And would you show us Christ? Would you reveal your glory? Would you set such a vision before us of Jesus that we would love him, that we would worship him together, that we would hold him out in our lives and in this great city, we pray. For your glory. Amen. When was the last time you were excited by something great? I loved hearing a Sussex carol at the carol service just before Christmas. It was wonderful. It was beautifully arranged. It was movingly played. I sent the video to friends and family. I told everyone that I spoke to how great it was. When was the last time you were excited by something great? It's a pretty great man on the screen, Michael Jordan. Buzz Aldrin, married again at 93. Achieved greatness as the second man on the moon. Maybe it was a 1-1 draw against Bayern on Friday night. Maybe it was a bargain that you picked up in the sales. Maybe it was a conversation that you've had. Greatness is a funny thing, isn't it? It can really excite us. It can captivate us. It fills our thoughts. It hits the headlines, doesn't it? It dominates conversation. But it can be so limited. It only lasts a short time. We might marvel at shooting stars, but they're gone like that, aren't they? The greatest achievements in the ancient world, that is the picture there of one of the seven wonders of the world. Gabby and I went there in Ephesus, Artemis, the Temple of Artemis, built in about 500 BC and then rebuilt again 200 years later. And now it looks more like a floodplain with a couple of bits of marble. Acts 19, the Ephesian crowd shouts, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" Doesn't look quite so great nowadays. Greatness is also limited in extent, isn't it? You might be at the top of your field, an expert in your career or in life, but try and change a nappy. And many are stumped. Or try and cook a meal for 100 people. Or try and sing a solo. Come at the front and do what Kate just did. We can't be great at everything. And yet it excites us. When we come across something great, we praise it. We tell others about it. Psalm 145, verse 3. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Wow. The list of praise for God goes on and on through this psalm. Verse 4, he has mighty acts. Verse 5, glorious splendor, majesty, wondrous works. Verse 6, the might of your awesome deeds. Verse 7, abundant goodness, righteousness. Verse 8, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. Over and over and over, greatness. There are several areas in which the psalm, in which David tells us God is great. First of all, he's great in creation. Verse 9, he made all things. His mercy is over all that he has made. The oldest fading star and every snowflake that we've seen fall, unique in its beauty, in its unseen beauty. Every shifting cloud and every mountain that has stood for centuries, thousands of years. Every line on your hand. Every road you walk down, the Lord God made them all. But he doesn't just make this creation and then let it go. He's not like a clockmaker who winds up a clock and then leaves it running. As creator, he sustains. Verse 9, he is good to all. His common grace seen in every beat of your heart. In every new medical treatment that is developed, in every day that the sun rises on this earth. As Creator, he provides. Verse 15, the eyes of all look to you. Great thing to pray before each meal. Give us today our daily bread. We ask God to provide. He gives food in season. He sets those seasons in place. Take apples. We love apples, don't we? We pick them in autumn, but every season is needed. Winter is a time of rest. Blossom and bees in spring, sun in the summer, harvest in the autumn. Verse 16, you open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. Like a tender owner who cares for his creatures. Great is the Lord. He is great in creation. He's great in his rule. Did you see how much of this psalm is about his kingdom? Verse 1, I will extol you, my God and my King. As we've seen, pictures of Greta Thunberg over the last week, arrested in protests in Germany. We remember that climate and creation is always subject to God. If we fail to limit the impact of climate change, it won't be because it is outside of God's rule. The world and the human race and everything in it is under his rule. He is the King. He is great in his rule. Verse 11, his kingdom is glorious. It's a kingdom of splendor, verse 12. It means a great beauty that attracts admiration and attention. It arrests you. It makes you stop and stare. This is amazing. The nations will come and worship him because he is so great. His kingdom is total over space and time. Verse 13, it's an everlasting kingdom. Our culture can never progress so far that it would escape his rule. Our governments might exclude the kingdom of God from laws and debates, but he reigns, and he will always be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His dominion endures through all generations. There has never been, and there never will be, a generation over which God does not rule. Or a ruler over which God does not rule. Every ruler that has ever lived, whether they are great or small, whether they're good or evil, whether they have a legitimate power or one that is taken by force, all are under the greatness of God. No human kingdom comes close to his. The Persian Empire, the Roman Empire, the British Empire, none of them big enough. The power of the Third Reich, or President Putin, does not compare. Today's wealth of the United States is nothing to the riches of this kingdom. Great is the Lord. He's great in his rule. Do you see the way that he uses his rule? He doesn't use his unrivaled majesty and might to grab more power. He's never threatened. He is all-powerful. Verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. He's always fair. It's not like VAR gets things wrong sometimes. He is always consistent. He is always kind. The Lord is near to all who call on him. He's not a far-off king, but he freely grants an audience to you. He's closer than the closest friend. He hears you when you call on him. Many of us, if you follow this at all in England, are crying out at the moment for the Church of England to fall in love with God's word again. We cry out to him for the financial situation at LEC. Many of us are crying to the Lord in some pretty tough situations at the moment. When lives are torn apart by sin, when it feels like the carpet's been pulled from under your feet, when sickness hits you and stays. Those cries that you've made on behalf of a loved one, a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter or a grandparent or mother or father or a dear friend. Cries for the Lord to save. Cries for a revival in this city. The Lord is near to all who call on him. He is never silent. He never fails to hear you. Great is the Lord. He's great in his rule. He's great in his rescue. In verse 4, the phrase, mighty acts, they shall declare your mighty acts. It's God's saving power, how he rescued his people from slavery in Egypt. With mighty acts, he heard his people's cry, he was near to them, and he moves to free them. They couldn't save themselves. They couldn't rise up. They couldn't vote themselves free. They couldn't fight themselves free. Only a miracle could free them, and God sends 10 plagues. He provides the Passover lamb, and he parts the waves to create a dry path through the sea. He defeats the chariots of Egypt, and he rescues his people. His awesome deeds were shown as he brings his people into the promised land. A land his people didn't deserve, but that he had promised to them centuries beforehand. His saving power is demonstrated as King David's kingdom grows, as it is established, as his people are rescued from their enemies. Under David, they have peace on every side of their borders. God is great in his rescue. As we've seen the last couple of weeks in John's Gospel, he is great ultimately as he comes to his people in the person of his son, who lived a perfect life for 33 years, the life you and I could never live. Fully human, yet without sin, a life full of trust and delight in God, a life that truly extolled our great God, who truly lifted him up and high. A life that was full of love for God and love for others. Love that led him to throw his arms open wide on that cross. As he died a sinner's death, taking the judgment of God that sinners deserve, so that sinners like you and me can say, my debt is paid, I've been set free, and I'm forgiven. God is great. He is great in creation. He is great in his rule. He's great in his rescue. Because Jesus rose from the dead against every statistic that has ever been stacked up. One in one die, and when we die, we stay dead. But not Jesus. Dying, he conquered death, so it has no hold on him. So death is not the final word. Death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? God is great in his rescue. And so this is a psalm. It's a psalm of praise. It's a song of praise for you and I to sing. And David, as he writes this, and as the Holy Spirit helps David write this, he wants us to come and praise the great God to come and bow before this King of Kings, this great creator, this great ruler and sustainer, this great rescuer. Verse 1, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. Friends, it starts today and it goes on tomorrow and on the next day and on into eternity. Great is the Lord. Verse 3. Because he is so great, he is greatly to be praised. The praise that he is due is great. If someone opens the door for you, you say danke, right? If someone helps you with your shopping, you say vielen Dank. If someone buys you cheddar, you say vielen Dank is there. What do you say to the one whose greatness will never end? I was speaking to someone earlier this week who was saying that they were afraid that they might get bored in heaven. And if heaven is about floating on clouds, playing a harp with halos, you can see why. That's not my cup of tea. But heaven will be wonderful because God is great. The praise that God is owed is so great because he is so great. God will never stop filling you with wonder. You will never exhaust God. You will never know everything that there is to know about God. Every new dawn, every time the sun rises, he will have the fresh capacity to make you catch your breath, to fill you with wonder and joy. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. There is no submarine that can plumb the depths of it. There is no spaceship that can fly far enough to reach the end of it. There is no telescope, not even the James Webb telescope, that apparently can see back billions, to see stars billions of years ago. Not even that could see the end of God's greatness. We run out of words describing him. Every adjective, every superlative, in every single language across all the years this world has been in existence, falls short. Falls short of capturing the unsearchable greatness of our God. And forever will not be enough time to sing his praises. Great is the Lord. It's a personal thing. Do you see how many I's are in this psalm, in this song of praise? Verse 1, I will extol. Verse 2, I will bless. Verse 5, I will meditate. Verse 6, I will declare. Right at the end, verse 21, my mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. It's something we are to cultivate in ourselves today, right? This is for us to do. I include myself in this, but if we don't delight and love to speak about God and his greatness, then that is because we don't love him like we ought to. We haven't begun to grasp how precious it is to know him, to be able to call him my God and my King. So David says, I will meditate on your wondrous works, on his glory and his greatness. Take verses 8 to 9, words that are familiar, that God spoke to Moses when Moses said, what is your name? The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy over all that he has made. The word meditate, it means sort of constant, repeated praise. It's something that you deliberately do. It's not just thinking about it, but it's speaking it out. Teaching your heart to sing his praise. Preaching to yourself, reminding yourself of how great our God is. It's muttering almost to your heart. You are so great, you are so good. There is no one like you. In Jewish practice, this psalm was repeated in daily prayers. So it was said twice in the mornings and once in the evenings. In fact, this is one great big memory aid. We don't see it in our English Bibles or our German Bibles, but it's an acrostic psalm, which means that in the original language, every verse starts with a new letter or the next letter of the alphabet. To help you learn to praise him, to know how great he is, to take it into your heart, to remember and meditate and to declare his greatness. We are to come and praise our great God. But that doesn't stop with us, because our praise of this God is meant to overflow to other people. We are to tell others of his greatness. Verse 4, one generation shall commend your works to another. One generation will tell the next. I wonder what your parents taught you. My dad taught me to use a drill, to measure twice and cut once. He certainly told me that many, many times. He told me that in the summer, you can get away with using a bottle, some fairy liquid, some washing up liquid and water instead of buying screen wash from the shop for your car. He told me the discipline of spending time with the Lord each day. What do you want the next generation to learn from us? In my family, my gran was a believer who took my dad to church. My parents taught me God's mighty deeds. We, Gabby and I, try and teach our children about how great our God is, about the Lord who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. It's an incredible thought, isn't it, that David's generation is still declaring God's praise to us. As we read Psalm 145, we hear this generation from centuries ago, thousands of years ago, telling us how great God is. But it now points to a so much greater, mighty act as Jesus died and rose again. As we know that he will return in glorious splendor as the King of Kings and Lord of all. One generation shall commend your works to another. It's a public declaration. Have a look at verses 11 and 12, right at the heart of this psalm, right at the center of the alphabet. Verse 11, they shall speak the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power. Why? In order to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Because every heart in this world is not enough to declare the greatness of our God. Now, you will never meet someone to whom this does not apply. There is no one who is so far or so independent or doesn't need or should not bow the knee in wonder and love and praise before this great God. The Lord God is worthy of their praise. And as we think about who we are as a church family at LEC, about what we do as church, I want us to delight in this great and awesome God. This is a call to praise, isn't it? A personal call to praise. Each one of us singing our praises to our King, to praise him for the wonderful, mighty, awe-inspiring things that he does. The things that he has done. His abundant goodness. His graciousness and compassion. His great fame, his mercy that washes you and me clean. His ability to save people in the most dangerous and bleak situations. To save those who are on the brink of hell. His capacity to save and preserve those who love him, to keep us safe. Those are the things that should shape our desires and our dreams and our ambitions for this church family. And if God's praise is as great as this, if it is as wide as all creation, it ends, "Let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever." That's pretty all-encompassing, isn't it? There is not a single person or a single creature that this does not reach. Well, then that blows wide the walls of LEC, doesn't it? We want to see people from right across Leipzig, right across the world, coming and praising this great God. In English and in German, in every language of the world. It shouldn't be something that we do because we're told to, or because we feel that we should. It should just be a natural overflow of a heart that is full of praise and wonder. Who are you going to see this week, I wonder? Who is it that you could speak to, that you could tell something of these great and awesome deeds, that of this great and awesome God that we have? Who could you invite on a Sunday? Come and see who Jesus is. Who could you invite along to Christianity Explored? Who could you open God's word with and say, "Look and see the God who knows me and who loves me and who forgives me and who changes me and makes me new"? It was great praying with churches across Leipzig last week, wasn't it? Doesn't this vision of God enlarge our prayers for more churches in this city? For churches who will proclaim the great and glorious deeds of our great God. Who will throw open the doors, who will throw open their hearts and their homes so that others can hear about him. Because we want all flesh to bless his holy name. We want every person, we want the children of people to know how great this God is. So how do we reach this city with the gospel? Well, it's our prayer as elders that we at LEC would be thinking about planting churches. Not just one, but another and then another. Not because there aren't other churches in this city, but because there are so many people here. Because our God is so great, because we are a generation who are called to delight in the splendor of our God, to declare his praises to those around us. Because there are 600,000 people in this city, and yet so few who would call themselves Christian. And even fewer who would be in a church on a Sunday. Because this city is growing by another 100,000 people over the next 10 to 15 years. It needs partnership with others. It needs planning. It will mean moving out of our comfort zone. It will require sacrifice and money and time. But isn't our God great? And isn't he worth it? Isn't it worth seeing the cost to see lives turned around, to be filled with awe and wonder, to see people come and praise and worship the living God. In his prayer, and he has an awful lot of thought and wisdom, lots to think about and talk about over the coming months and years, but I'd love us to boldly consider it. I'd love us to pray for more churches in this city, because we have a God whose greatness is unsearchable. Because every voice in this city is not enough to sing his praise. Because today is a day for you to declare his greatness, the unsearchable greatness of our God. Let's turn and pray. Lord God, you are gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. We thank you for your mercy to us. We thank you for your sustaining, for the way you provide for each one of us exactly what we need. We thank you for your awesome care in the way that you rule and reign. Father, we thank you that you are the God who rescues. Father, we thank you that we can never plumb the depths of your greatness. We thank you that you are unsearchable, that we will never get bored of singing your praises. And we ask, Lord, that that be a reality for us today. That these words we read would increasingly be our reality. That we would say from the bottom of our hearts, great is the Lord and worthy to be praised. Father, we would long to see that message go out from here into our lives day by day, right across this city. Father, we pray that we will see men and women and boys and girls come and say, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Please, Lord, would you do that in us? Would you use us? Would you change us? And would you let all people, all flesh, begin to bless your wonderful, holy name? For Jesus' sake, we pray, and for his glory. Amen.